You're right.
You're doing? Okay, just let me. Good morning, everybody. It's Erev Tu Bishvarak, and from an editorial in the Jerusalem Post, I learned that Keren Kayemet does not plant trees in a Shemitah year. So there are no, you know, the seculars around here. There's no planting of trees in a Shemitah year. So there won't be, what?
Why do they have that picture that two guys planting a tree?
I have no idea who put up the picture. I don't know what the picture is. I don't know anything. All I can tell you is what I read in the Jerusalem Post. But the sum total of my knowledge begins and ends with the Jerusalem Post. I can tell you the weather. The only thing I can't tell you is the crossword puzzle. My wife does that every day. And the sports. I have no interest in sports. It never did happen. But I do want to share with you something that is for me personally a source of great joy. And since you're my beloved students, you're the first ones, it's the first announcement in the world. It took a long time. The title of the book is called Touching History. And basically, since the book, which are my memoirs, but there is a point to the book, that the 70 years that I discussed in this book are the most awesome 70 years in the history of any people on the face of this earth, and certainly the most awesome 70 years in the life and the long history of the Jewish people. And I trace it with my little experience, and it begins sometime at the beginning of the First World War when I was 6 years old. One of the first... For Second World War. That would be pretty good. The Second World War. The first event that I can remember, and that's recorded here, you'll have to, I'm not going to tell you the whole book, you'll have to start and buy it. I don't even know how much it costs yet.
It's available.
It's not, it will be available for sale for the first time the next week. I don't know if here, but it certainly will be, there's an international book fair. The old train station here, this is the Takana Rishona, next week, I think between the 9th and the 12th or 13th of February, that's where it will go on sale. I don't even know what the price is yet. I'm afraid to touch it because the ink is still wet. So the title of the book is Touching History, and maybe many people won't know the bridge. Is the Williamsburg Bridge. And this is Paranova. And the subtitle of the book is From Williamsburg to Jerusalem. There is, of course, a message that is there throughout the book. You know, all of my Zionism comes out from the very beginning, from the introduction all the way to the index. It's all there. And it begins with that, I think, with that, I don't remember, I have to read the book again. with my first childhood memory, it was a very cold day in December. I was learning in Yeshiva Torah Vadaras.
Sorry.
Everybody moves over a little bit to someplace. If you get rid of one of the chairs, you'll have more place than anything else. I was in school, and I think it was in grade two, I'm not sure. And it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, if I'm not mistaken. The principal comes into the classroom, and he looks very very concerned. He whispers to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's face becomes drawn, and as soon as he goes out, the Rebbe says, Kinderlach, get dressed. This is the middle of the school day. It's Sunday, and we were the one of the few schools open in all of America that day, and he says, Kinderlach, get dressed. And we start putting on our scarves and our coats and our obutalach and our gloves. And then we go out down the main staircase and we see the whole school going quietly, swiftly, still. And the Rebbe takes us out onto Wilson Street in Williamsburg and he walks us to the corner which is Lee Avenue. And he tells us, Kinderlach, Leif Ahaim, Leif Ahaim. Children, run home. We ran. And of course, what's happening? We came into the house, and there I saw my father and my mother in front of, you wouldn't remember, a big wooden radio, and for the first time in my life I heard about a place called Pearl Harbor. The sneak attack of Japan. It was Sunday, December 7th, 1941. And there was fear. There was fear that there would be an attack on the mainland of the United States. So therefore the few schools in the country were told to send children home. We were one of the few schools. There weren't too many schools open on Sunday, December 7th, 1941. So my first memory began with a shtick history. And then from there it goes all the way. There's some very nice stuff. There's nice pictures. Very nice pictures. Anyway, when we picked up the... We only get a limited number of copies. When we picked them up, I said the bracha of Shechiyonu v'kiyumonu v'kiyonu l'azman hazeh b'shem u'malchus. And immediately I said, thank God, the Gavashim should give my wife and I, because I'm working on three other books right now. So we gotta get it all done. But I will never take off somebody for. I was away for a month taking off. I couldn't even do a thing. Couldn't lift a finger for a few weeks. We don't take off from here. Anyway, so you're the first ones to know. It's a nice book.
Who's going to play you in the movement?
You know. Right here, woman said, right there. What?
Who's going to play you in the movie?
I'm going to play myself. You'll read about the movie. I told you about the movie last year, the movie that I appear in. You're making jokes over here? I already appear in one of the great movies of all time. The Gatekeepers. You better buy the book if you want. I'm not telling you anything else. Anything else is going to cost you money. That's all. We're not playing it. Anyway, let's go to the shir. The shir, if I finish it today, it's going to be a wild one. And there's real Torah, MS, and I want to just show you how it plays itself out in the world today. All Torah, I believe, has to be related to the here and the now. What do we learn from it? Parshas Yitro. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Here is, for all times, we're talking about a guy. And there's a parsha in Torah named after this guy. And not just any other parsha in Torah, even though there is no such thing as any other parsha. We're talking about the parsha that has the Aseret HaDibro, revelation at Mount Sinai, the most awesome event in all of history. We become Am Hashem at the foothills of Sinai. And this parasha is parasha Kisro. Let's read number one. By Yet say Moshe, Likrat Chofno, he's out of the desert, and he hears that his father-in-law is coming, and he goes out. Is there a man in the house? Ira, come here. Come here. Ira, come here. Do me a favor. Just pick up a chair over here and take it out. Ira, you have a bed back. Okay, Kenny is going to take care of it. No. Get one chair out.
We did it.
You did it? Okay, the crisis is over. The crisis is over. Okay. Everything will be fine now until Netanyahu speaks before Congress. Okay. We're going to talk about that. Let's go. Anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu was told that his father was coming out into the desert. Moshe went out to his father-in-law. They bowed to each other. He kissed him. Each one this is a beautiful description of each one asks the other, how are you doing? They came into the tent. Moshe told his father-in-law everything that God had done to Pharaoh and to Egypt, for the sake of Israel, and also at Kohat's law, Hashem, it's our come, but there, all the trouble that had befallen them during the way, and God rescued them. And Yitro rejoiced about all the good that God had done for Israel. That he saved the Jewish people from the hands of the Egyptians. Yitro, listen to this. Yitro said, Baruch Hashem, he said a bracha. And we're going to see right away that we learn the halacha of making a bracha on a nest, a bracha for a miracle. We learn it from Yitro. And what's fascinating over here is the one who is saying the bracha is not one who experienced the miracle. But his joy to the Jewish people is that great. And we learn from here that when there is a miracle that happens for all of Israel, even one who did not experience it also says the bracha. If there's a personal miracle, so then the one who benefited from the miracle says a bracha. But when it's quiet soil, then everybody says. So Yitro said, Baruch Hashem Hashem Yitzchil. Blessed is God who saved you from the hands of Egypt, and from the hands of Paro. Asher Hitzilech Ha'am, God saved the people, mitachat yad Mitzrayim, from under the heavy hand of Egypt that enslaved the Jewish people. And he goes on to say, Arta Yodati, now I know, Ki Gadol Hashem, he called her Elohim, God is greater than all other deities. Ki bardovar asher zodu aleinu. Very important. For that of which they were guilty, zodu from the word mazid, dovar asher zodu, that's exactly what happened to them. And Rashi is going to explain that Yitro was saying, there was a time at which Jewish children were being thrown into the Nile. Egypt sinned with water, with drowning Jewish children. So therefore, their punishment is measure for measure. It just fits. It's suitable. That's exactly what God should have done to them. So now I know, he says, that God is great because God's punishment fits the crime. All right. Let's see, there are two Rashis in number two. Vayichad Yitro, number nine, it's on the line. And Yitro rejoiced. This means, Vayismach Yitro, Zeu Pshuto, the simple meaning of the word Vayichad is that he was happy. He was happy. It's from Chedva. Chedva is joy. Joy, he was happy. Medrash HaKadosh, there's a medrash that says that in the word Vayichav, and really what the medrash wanted to explain, if he was happy, why didn't the pasuk simply write Vayismach Yitro? And Yitro was happy. Why was the word Vayichav used? So the medrash says that the word Vayichav was used because in the word Vayichav there is also another meaning. The other meaning is Naseh v'sorrow chidudin zavdudin. His flesh became prickly. He developed goose flesh. No, it's like, how do you know?
Goosebumps.
What did you say?
Goosebumps or goosebumps?
Goosebumps. Goosebumps. In other words, there was a certain kind of a tremor within this joy. And the tremor, the Medrash says that the tremor was because there was also another aspect to this punishment. There was a painful aspect as well, and that is Meitzar al Ibud Mitzrayim. He was aggrieved, he felt bad that Egypt was destroyed. And Hayim Ba'ami Inchi, this is explained. This is what people say. There's a common Sprechwort or an expression which says Giora Arasora Dori Lotuvazi Armo Beate. If one is a convert, or even the descendant of one who converted up to 10 generations ago, do not disgrace an Aramean or any other non-Jew in his presence. There's something that remains. There's sort of an affinity or a feeling for, and therefore, at the same time that he was happy because of what God had done for the Jewish people, there was also a degree of tzmarmoret, we would say, sort of a tremor that went through his body because of the loss of Egyptians. It could also be that he was human life, the loss of human life. Yes, and it had to come to that, yes.
Didn't he also, wasn't he an advisor to Paro in the beginning?
Yeah, that's true, yes. He was one of Paro's advisors, the famous Gemara that says, that the cabinet, the security cabinet, before whom was brought the question, what shall we do with the Jews? Paro, there was Bilam, Yitro, and Eov. Those were the members, quite a star-studded cast of characters. When Paro raised the plan of enslaving the entire Jewish people, so there, and maybe that also included casting Jewish children into the Nile. So Bilam voted for. Eov abstained. Yitro fled. Bilam, who voted for the plan, was killed. Eov, who remained silent and abstained, suffered the punishment, the pain of Eov. And Yitro, who fled, became the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's the famous Briskirov. He says, what do you do? Yitro remained silent? What could he do? So he says, all right, maybe there was nothing that Eov could do, but a krech. there should have been a krechts, oy vey. And because there was no oy vey, God gave him reason to oy vey. Yes, Malka?
Shtika kahastama.
Kahodara.
Shtika
kahodara. Okay. Even remaining silent. In other words, what he really did is he abstained. You don't abstain in the face of evil. You don't abstain. I saw a very nice shot from Hanan Parat, all of our soul. He said that maybe you can also say that the word Vayichad means both of them together, and there were tremors, but there is joy also that brings tremors. There are times that we become so overwhelmed with joy that we shake from the very joy. He doesn't want to leave it that, well, you know, he was not shedding any tears for what happened to the Egyptians. You know, he's not the BBC that, you know, when five terrorists kill 1,000 people, so they say 1,005 people lost their lives. No. 1,000 victims and 5 killers, you understand? Who was it that sent me a picture of the World Trade Center, plane going into the World Trade Center, and the headline is, 8 Saudis die in a plane crash. Understand? 8 Saudis die in a plane crash. That's, you know, there are no such thing as terrorists. No such thing. The Saudis never died in a plane crash. That's the world. So he says, he says, and he brings a nice proof for it. Take a look on the other side. By the way, usually one of the most difficult things when I'm putting the sources together is where to put what. So, all right, sorry. Take a look at number 5. On the second side, number 5, that's the last stanza of Koribon Olam that we sing on Friday night. Koribon Olam was written over 400 years ago by Rabbi Yisrael Najara. You ever heard of Najara Street?
Yeah.
Najara? You're an inner city girl. Anybody? Kiryat Moshe? Givat Shaul? I know, Najara. With the bust of Najara. Rabbi Yisrael Najara wrote Koribon. And you'll see the first begins with Yud, Sin, Reish, Aleph. The last stanza, it begins with a Lamed, so the Lamed of Yisrael. Yisrael Najara had a fascinating rabbinic position for many years, and after he passed on, his son took over that position. He was the Rav of Arza. Arza? There was a big Jewish community in Arza. Not Eretz Yisrael, it's Palestinian. 400 years ago, Rabbi Yisrael Najara was the Rav of Arza. He was a great, great poet. He wrote hundreds, possibly thousands, of zmiros and piyutim and all that. Of course, Koribon. Who doesn't sing Koribon? So then he says, L'midosh echtuv u'l'kodesh kudishin, to your sanctuary return, and l'kodesh to the Holy of Holies. Atar, the place, divei yechedun, the place where ruchim v'nashim, spirits and souls, will rejoice. Yechedun, the word vayichan. And here we're talking about the joy of Beit HaMikdash and Har HaBayit and Yerushalayim is the kind of joy that sort of a shiver goes up and down your spine. So he wants to say that Vayichad Yitro may mean an intense kind of joy where his whole body felt, he physically felt the joy. It wasn't just a joy of mind or heart, but it was a joy of... And we know what that kind of joy is. The Yizam Lulach Shiru Nashin B'Yerushalayim Kartodish Yufraya. And where will they sing before you? In Yerushalayim, Karta Dishufraya, the beautiful city, or the city of beauty. If we're by number five, let's just take a quick look at number six. Harovei Makom Shenasu B'Misil Yisrael, this is a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in the last parak of Masechet Brachot. Harovei Makom Shenasu B'Misil Yisrael, a person who sees a place where miracles were done for the Jewish people, Omer is supposed to say, Baruch, and by the Baruch over here, it really means Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Sure, also Nisim Lavosein Baruch Hazel did miracles for our fathers in this place. And if you'll take a look in the Parish, that's the commentary of Tahati, he writes, Omer Baruch, also Nisim Lavosein Baruch Hazel, Hain Shemabarak B'Shem Rav, is supposed to say the brother with the name of God and kingdom, Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. In the next line it says, at the end of the line, the Gemara. In the Gemara, where do we learn the halacha of making a bracha on a nes that happened for Klal Yisrael? From that which it says, Vayomer Yitro Baruch Hashem, Hashem Hitzil Lechem Yavetz Mitzrayim U'miyav Paro. So we learn a bracha from Yitro's response. I want to go one step further. Yitro is not only responding to the good news that he's heard of the rescue of an entire people from the hands of a brutal tyrant, but he also is able to understand the deeper significance of the nest. We may not be able to see it that clearly, but if you think about it, the story about casting Jewish children in the Nile had happened 80 years earlier. It was not something that happened during the entire period. There was a brief period, maybe a week, I don't know, that they threw Jewish children out. It was 80 years earlier. Proof that it was 80 years earlier?
Moshe
is 80 years old now. 80 years ago. Are people able to forget 6 million who were killed 70 years ago? Okay. To remember an incident of just a few days was 80 years earlier. Most of the people at the time weren't even alive then. But Yitro was able to pick that bit of information out of the past. You see, you know, we're spoiled because that's the only thing we really know about the whole Mitzrayim experience. And we read the whole Mitzrayim experience within a period of 4 weeks. You know, Shemot, Vayera, Bo, Bishar, Yitro, here we are. It was 80 years ago. It may have been no more than a few days. But Yitro was able to put two and two together and come up with the awesome truth. God doesn't forget. The mill of justice grinds very slowly. Oh boy, when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam finally brings the justice, always it suited to the crime. And the one was able to pick this up was Yitro. I don't know if the average Jew in the street would have known. He taught us that you have to look and see that when God punishes, the punishment includes the original the original sin. And by the way, all the Svarim say that that's a great chesed. That's a great kindness. Because by seeing the punishment, one can even begin to figure out what is he being punished for. So that punishment is not necessarily just, you know, arbitrary. All right, now, we've got to move ahead with alacrity. Here is, let's go back into the first page. This is an awesome medrash. An awesome, awesome medrash. I had heard about this medrash many, many years ago. Not so many. Probably more than 30 years ago, when we first came, or I think when we were here on sabbatical, my wife went to his shiurim from Nechama Leibovitz. And then she came home from one shiur, and every few years she reminds me about that shiur and the medrash. And of all things, this year, I finally looked, and I found the medrash. The medrash is awesome. Number three. The Medrash is talking about the fact, I'll start from the beginning of the Medrash. It's the second half, meaning. V'cheinu Omer, there is a pasuk in Tehillim that says, V'yamru al yam v'yamsuf. Even at the Yamsuf, in the middle of the greatest miracle, wonder of all, all of nature is being changed. There were still people with a rebellious heart. Marmu shteipam, and why does it say Vayamru al Yam? They rebelled at the sea. In the Yam Suf, it could have simply said Vayamru the Yam Suf. Marmu shteipam likewise. Ela al Yam himru, as they stood near the Yam. Near the sea they rebelled, because they didn't want to go into the Yam. The Rebbeinu told Moshe, speak to the children of Israel and tell them to journey, and they won't. Shalom Horyurotsu later, they didn't want to go down into the Yam. Ilula Shevet Yehuda, if not for the tribe of Yehuda. Shekofat Tchila, they jumped into the waters. The Kidei Shmo Shemakodesh Baruch Hu. And sanctify the name of God. Nachshon v'aminado jumps into the sea. Shenema betzeis Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Hoysa Yehuda mekodesh. Yehuda is the one that sanctified it. So that was the first rebellion. As they're standing by the Yamsuf, they rebelled. The second half of this message. I hope you used the word awesome already today. It's most probably, I would say it's tragic because it's so true. What was the second rebellion? Ubiyamsuf minayim shehimru. How do we know that at the Yamsuf they rebelled? Elokim shiyorazul tokhayam, when they went into the Yam. Oh, your Molly Pit, you know, there was mud? Back to the scene. There's a Yam. All of a sudden, the Yam splits. It's nearly dry land. The Egyptians who are pursuing us, that a moment ago we were terrified that they're going to destroy us, are being drowned in the Yam Suf. But, you know, the Yam Suf isn't really completely dry. There's a little bit of mud. But it. The Jewish Yodos Nachyam, they went into the Yam. But your money pit, it was full of mud. Shoyar Achshav Lach Minamayim. Up until now, it was still moist from the water. Why you go Kimin pit? Something that was like, a little bit, you know, okay. Shenema, Pasuk in Habakkuk, Darachta Bayam Shusecha. In the Yam went God's horses. Chomer Mayim Rabin. It was like mud with great water. Oy, listen to this. V'ha Yomer Ruvein L'Shimon. Reuven said to Shimon, Benitzchayim tit? Ubayam tit? When I talked a moment before about my wife, having learned by the Chumash, so she kept telling me over, Vetit? Vetit? Vemadem? You can imagine with her chain how Nechama Levi said it. They didn't see what's going on over here. It's all the same. Everything is the same. In Mitzrayim we were afflicted, and now in the midst of the great miracle, Reuven is complaining to Shimon, my shoes are getting dirty. It's mad. But we're going to see it's not so mad. People can find themselves in the midst of an awesome miracle, but they don't get it. That's a profound tragedy. In Mitzrayim did. In Mitzrayim there was mud, and here there's mud. Frightening. In Mitzrayim there was Komet Ulevenim. There was the mortar and there were the bricks. Ubayam, Chomer, Mayim, Chavim. And in the Yam, there was this water mixed with earth. Hoi, whoa, Vayam, Ruayam, Biyam, Suf. They rebelled. Don't mean all of Israel, it means that there was some. And you know what the message is telling us? Don't think it's so strange when you see it happening before your very eyes. The next, number four, is Nechama Leibowitz's commentary on this medrash. Im kein yiso lo nishtanu ha'anoshim gam acharei ha'nes. People didn't change even after the miracle. V'lo posto ha'katnonios v'hanargan. Their smallness and their complaints. Smallness and complaints. This country is facing the most existential threat of any country on the face of this earth. And a bunch of jerks are making us crazy with stupid bombs. Bombs. This is madness. Madness. You know why? Small people remain small people, even if they're running for great office. They're small, they'll live small, and they're going to die small. The question is, are they going to make us small in the process? Chas v'shon. Bottles. Con bottles. V'shon bottles. Okay? Watch what Nechama has to say. And then you can listen to what Gold has to say. I'm very angry and I'm very upset and I'm letting it all out of you. Alright? Here. Kviyut HaTovah, the second line of Nechama. Ungrateful. The Ahavat HaNochiyut, and they make their own comforts. Never! They're walking through a little bit of blutter. Ah, come on. We were great pioneers. Not all the streets in Harnof were paved when we moved in. We had to walk during the winter into our house and make sure we cleaned off the holy mud of Eretz Yisrael from our shoes. Why the pilgrims didn't have it as bad as we did. The English don't know what pilgrims are. Scholar-Fakhlers don't know what the ones that you wanted to tax without representation. You know? That's right. And we told you, good, give me liberty or give me death. Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. 13 colonies. Okay, let's go weiter. Ahavato ubemachom, And in place of seeing how they have buried, instead of seeing the great kindness of the Creator, and His divine providence, His love and His concern for His people, His mouth, taking them on the wings of eagles. They don't see that. For heaven's sake, it's so painful, they don't see it. Bimakom's there. Him rowing at the Atapos, you know what they see? They see a little bit of the of the mud. I said them I lay him on his shoes. This is enough. Lahashvot Shibut Ligula Afilula Ora. This is enough. So you make a comparison, you understand. Shaitish of Olam, as the Medri said, the Medri we learned last week. You know when I feel like Muhammad? Every time I read, I think I mentioned it to you a month and a half ago, somebody who wrote wrote up the story of the tragic story of the Har-Nof Pigua. Oh my Nishkach, let us not forget. Shanachnu nimtzeim ba'omek ha-golos. We're in the depths of golos here. There's Auschwitz and here is Auschwitz. Some Palin, the Khan Palin. All the same. Nothing has changed. We're in the depths of God. Or what I went crazy about a year ago. We're living now through the worst Golos. A Golos by Yidin, you understand. A Golos by Yidin. Shomu Shamayim. These people are blind. We're living in the midst of Chazdei HaKadosh Baruch Hu all around us, and all they see is the darkness. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Watch. I'll show it to you. I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you. It gets me so enraged. Ein ha-nes mishaneh b'nei odom automatic. A nes, a miracle, doesn't change people automatically. Great things can happen, and it's all the same. It's all the same. Instead of Kozakin and the Tsar, so we have the Tsinoinim and we have and the Tanyahu and the Nebuchadnezzar, they may want to take us into a Jewish army, Basil, they be stuff people from Lady Delilah. Shmad! Heres HaTorah! In Tsarist Russia, and in Zionist Israel, they're off the wall, they're off the wall. Ein v'di'yat ha-nes ha-koha v'ha-tot li'vo shel ro'ehu la'avato v'yirato et ha-shel yibarak. Just seeing a miracle is not enough to change the heart of a person to love and fear God. Im ein ha-odom v'ha-tzmo matel li'vo yilav, if the man himself doesn't. If he doesn't want to change, he's not going to change. Now, where do I start aggravating you? Why should I alone be aggravated? So I'll tell you what aggravated me. Before we go to the back side of the first page, let's go to the second page. I'm going to talk straight. I'm sorry, you know. What did I say? What was it a year ago? 2 years ago? What did I say? Bill, it'll be decided? We reached the age of... What the heck? I want to say what's on my mind. Anybody doesn't like it? Go back. Last week and this week, there were editorials in the Hamodia that made me sick. Did somebody make some smart comment, don't read it? No, they need me to read it and bring it to their attention. No, sirree. We don't hide. But I like the news, and most of the articles are nice, but the editorial opinion the person's flash of us at Torah is so bad. You need me. Here is the, there are two. There's the Hamodiah from 22:115, and the one this week, the one on the right-hand side, where is your sense of responsibility, Mr. Prime Minister? That was the title one. And this week's was, what chutzpah? The Prime Minister has chutzpah. Now watch this. Let's start with the one on the left-hand side. You see where it's underlined? It is important for the Jewish community to publicly disassociate itself from Netanyahu's arrogant antics, which are not only embarrassing, but counterproductive. The conduct of the Israeli premier is the polar opposite of the Torah way. Ooh, that's a big accusation. The polar opposite of the Torah way. Okay? What does he say at the end? The last paragraph? I can only wonder about all those pundits who are always so quick to issue scathing condemnations of Obama. Will they play it fair and turn their righteous wrath against Netanyahu? Or is it that in their eyes, Obama can do no right and Bibi no wrong? Okay. I can only hope that it will be the former. No, this was a whole editorial that was a vicious attack. What kind of business is there coming to Congress to speak? He didn't have. I wrote a letter to the editor. I have to wait now until Thursday.
I'm going to lose my breakfast.
You're going to lose your breakfast? And what about me? Why should I marry Safa? You Safa with me. Oh, wait a minute. I sent a letter on last week's editorial. That's going to be the next one. And they politely told me that they thanked me for expressing my opinion. And I'll tell you what they said. They're telling me. Anyway, it's okay. Yesterday I put it out on the internet and I want to see what's going to happen, if I'm going to get the world all shook up. I sent another letter, Motzei Shabbos, right after Shabbos. I wrote a letter and basically I said, I mean, the statement was simple, that Israel faces the most serious existential threat in the world. Iran is working full-time to make a bomb. They have said openly they're going to use the bomb against Israel. The most basic responsibility of the Prime Minister of Israel is to fight worldwide in every forum to stop that. And then I signed it, Sholem Gold, children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren who all live in Eretz Yisrael.
That's great.
We're all writing the letter.
You should have put the students also on.
You're right. The next time I write it, I'm going to write Kama Fahla. Yeah, and I read, you understand? And Malga. Okay. Let's take a look at the other. The next one. That was even worse. There is nothing he did in France that was right. Every step from coming to France to marching, everything was wrong, everything was bad, everything was an embarrassment, everything was shoved in a carpet. Watch! It's gonna be eaten, it's unbelievable. I'm starting to, but his conduct during the march pales in comparison to the irresponsibility he exhibited in public statements before and after it. He made two statements. I want you to hear the terrible statements that he made. Two statements. To all the Jews of France, all the Jews of Europe, I would like to say that Israel is not just the place in whose direction you pray. The state of Israel is your home. Netanyahu declared in a speech he gave in Israel, following the horrific murders of four Jews in the kosher supermarket in Paris. Now, do you know what's wrong with that statement? Hello, everybody? What's wrong? Huh? So, this is a terrible statement. You don't know. You can't figure it out. These guys haven't figured it out. On Sunday night, that's already in France, in Paris, on Sunday night, standing next to the French president, Francois Hollande, at a gathering of the great synagogue of Paris, Nathaniel did it again, for heaven's sake. This embarrassment. What did he say? Quote, any Jew who wishes to immigrate to Israel will be welcomed with open arms and warm and accepting hearts. They will not arrive in a foreign land, but rather the land of our forefathers. By the way, that's a nice turn of a phrase. Mm-hmm. Not a foreign land, but the land of our forefathers. God willing, he even said, in Yitz Hashem, this is a terrible statement. They will come, and many of you will come to our home. Oh, sorry, I know what Herzog Lippi will say. That's where more bottles are going to go. They're going to invite all these French Jews, understand? It's going to have to be Rothschild 1823. And, right? What's wrong with these two statements? What's wrong? At a time when French authorities are scrambling to show that they are taking the security needs of its Jewish citizens seriously, his call was the height of irresponsibility. To call Jews to come on Aliyah is the height of irresponsibility. For one thing, listen to the next paragraph. For one thing, to insinuate that somehow the Jews residing in Israel are safer than the Jews living in France fly in the face of the painful facts. As the massacre in Hanover tragically taught us, Jews are in need of heavenly protection wherever they may be found, and the vicious fangs of Islamic terror can strike anywhere, even in a shul. You know what they're saying? Kam terror, v'sham terror. Nothing has changed. Here there's tit, and there there's tit. Here there's terror, and there there's terror. Nothing. Two responses to this. Three. One, at the end of it, right, there's an article, the same day, the same Shabbos, Friday, Reuven Hammer is a conservative rabbi, and Reuven Hammer wrote in the Jerusalem Post, it must also be admitted, that there was something ingenious about telling people to come to Israel because they will be safe here, when we have all seen that there is no less terror here than in France. How many Jews have been killed in France over the past year or two by Islamic terror than how many were killed here? We cannot ignore the recent slaughter of the Muslim synagogue. Could Hammer have written the editorial in the Haladiyah? Okay, no, I'm not finished yet. This is awesome. It's frightening. They're good conservative Jews. Watch further. When I get mad. We cannot ignore the reason. Yeah, the three yeshiva students, Naftali and Yigal, who were murdered, and the various incidents involved, and it was not that long ago that so many were killed by suicide bombers. It's all the same, you know. Here and there. Here and there. It's all the same. Okay? Now, should Jews from France come here on Aliyah? Isn't Kamodir questioning that? The chutzpah and the irresponsibility of Netanyahu saying, God willing, they should come and come to our home, yeah? As a dedicated Zionist who left the comfort of the U.S. to make Aliyah, obviously I cannot be opposed to that. But on the other hand, I believe that Aliyah should be a matter of personal choice. By the way, for some strange reason, I forgot to put in the last paragraph in the Hamodia was, Aliyah is a matter of personal choice. The words of Hammer. Conservative, the conservative. Right? I believe that Aliyah should be a matter of personal choice, something done because one wishes to be part of the Jewish state. This Hamadir would never have written. Where Jews are a majority and participate in the renewal of Jewish sovereignty after 2,000 years. But I also believe that the diaspora has a right to exist. That they believe too. Okay, now. So, next, back to page before. It was an editorial in the Jerusalem Post, number 7, and I took only two sentences, two little paragraphs. Murderous hatred of Jews has not gone away. So anti-Semitism, it has that gray border around it. Murderous hatred of Jews has not gone away, but one important thing has changed. Jews no longer rely solely on the compassion and good graces of the world for their survival. And that makes all the difference. As my wife pointed out instantly, it's the last sentence in a powerful poem by Robert Frost, The Road Not Taken. And that makes all the difference. Hamodia would never have written that, because as far as Hamodia is concerned, Sham Terror, the Kam Terror. Sham Tit, Kam Tit. Sham Tzorfat, Kam Tzorfat. The end of the editorial. Just 70 years after the Holocaust, we are confronted with a stark reality. Anti-Semitism remains a danger. History's lessons have not been learned. The situation with the Jews in Europe is once again precarious. But unlike 70 years ago, Europe's Jews need not rely on the rectitude of their hosts. They have a choice. Hamodia doesn't understand that. That's Hashkafas HaTorah. This is conservative, the Reform Hashkafah.
Could you ask Hamodia?
Just one moment, I'm too excited to hear anybody. So I'm just going to end it. We have a few minutes. I'm going to end with something that I have read over and over and over again, and I get choked up, get very choked up every time I read it. There was a fellow who was editor of Nakuda magazine, a magazine that appeared, a secular magazine, high-level magazine, appeared for 30 years. He was also the editor of Corey Shon. He died a few months ago, about 2-3 weeks after Yom HaSmot. He was one of the founders of Ofra. And Uri Elitzur, take a look at number 12. Number 12. And he spoke on Yom HaSmot in Ofra. He knew that his end is coming. It was ill, it was 2 weeks later that he died. I'm going to read what he wrote, and then compare that in your mind with Hamodia. Zachiti, he knows that this is his last. Zachiti lenot, I was zeicher to see with my own eyes the miracle of the ingathering of the exiles. Shalom, unbelievable what I saw. Ra'iti ve'enai, I saw it with my own eyes. Lo rachok mipo, not far from here. Bahamat Sofin, where he was born. Hayinu, we were between 500,000 to 600,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Bahayom, Baruch Hashem, nearly 6.5 million. V'zeh ovid al yad hayinu kiru zemuvan me'elav. We're living, the title is, we're living in the midst of a miracle, and sometimes we don't see it. It's awesome. We're living here in the midst of a miracle. Achas l'tamashon in ishtaneh mashuvolam. Every few years something changes in the world. U'pitom minyonim shel Yehudim zornim l'Eretz Yisrael. Suddenly millions of Jews are flowing to Eretz Yisrael. From Ethiopia, from Russia, from America. From India, we call Rachvei around from the whole world. Boy, millions of Jews, billions of Jews come. But not with Chaim Ezeh, Kiru Zeh, Derechat Teva, believing it as though this is just also natural. But not with Chaim Ezeh, Bederechat Teva, Shemedinat Yisrael Hamufla'ah, Koneda Tutam, that this amazing state is able to absorb them all. We're living in the middle of a miracle. Man's dying. The gun at Ness, Eretz Yisrael, Zachiti, very 9 years old. The Nesavirus of Swell itself I've seen with my own eyes. And he's okay. I remember in my lifetime a land that was desolate. Muznachat.
Neglected.
Very good. Neglected. Azuba, forsaken. Muveket. Dusty. Zot Eretz Yisrael Sheimei Yalduti. That was the Eretz Yisrael of my childhood. He was 67 when he passed away. A brilliant man. But more brilliant than his mind was the brilliance of his heart. The Tidu Otayam, take a look at that Eretz Yisrael today. Eretz Yisrael no tenet anaf no seif peirot. She gives out her branches and carries the fruit. Where do you think he got that sentence from, Bela? Zatem hore Yisrael. Amtakan titenu uferiyakan tisu la'ami Yisrael ki kerfu la'am. The Pasuk in Yechezkel. Baruch Hashem! Just like Netanyahu. Baruch Hashem. The Todal Hashem shezika oti lihimanot bein hamiyasim shel ha'yishuv ha'chashuv hazeh ofra. Baruch Hashem that God gave me this course to be one of the founders of this yishuv called Ofra. And here, this is where I begin to fall apart completely into seams. Kan makia hasipur shishtaktil kan. Here comes the story. At the beginning, he said he promised that he was going to tell the story. Here comes the story. Chodoshim rabim afadei shagarnu ba'ofra. Many months after we lived in Ofra, hitorati boker echad, umashuhu hagam shunah. I got up one morning, and something was different. Pitomi Valti! All of a sudden I understood what Marathi Liyael, he called his wife Yael. Tachidi, listen. See Podim. There are birds chirping. The birds probably hadn't been there for 2,000 years. Jews are living there. They're planting, they're plowing. The birds came back. Yoel Moshe Solomon, who are Rabba? Yoel Moshe Solomon, he's a legend. He's the one who built Petra. Aval Ani, Masra'im is Kakela, Kamuzi Karom Chayai. What I'm telling you is what I remember from my own life. I experienced it. Lo Hoyu Poko of Rab Fitzor, Lo Haitaka Baha. We didn't have any swamps, and we didn't have any malaria. Aval Haitapo Shimamasha Kashela Kayet. There was desolation here that you can't even describe. Sla'im, rats, kotzim, thorns, bitzfifut, velachas, all over the place, wherever you went. Mikotza likotza shara yishuv, hayak kashel hagia. It was difficult to get from one part of the yishuv to the other because of the stones and the rats and the shrubbery. They, Lovarachev, by vehicle we certainly couldn't. Regel, we had tzadichlik posts, we had to jump, we sell on the cellar. Va'al shamati. Sipurim. All right? Let me ask you. By the way, it was the Shabbos Shira. And you know what? You know what I remembered Shabbos in the morning pregnant? And I went over to one of my neighbors in Shul. I said, I just remember my mother used to put out food for the birds. As soon as I came home from Shul, I took some challah from Friday night, made it to little pieces, I put it out on my porch, and you know what happened? One of them came by, and they have some amazing system of communication. Before you knew it, there were birds coming to my porch from all over. They ate it all up, clean, nothing was left. They came back Sunday morning, this Sunday, and I felt sad. So I ran and took some pieces of bread. They came again. They're coming every day now.
No,
but you understand what's happening over here. Hamodiah, Netanyahu, when he says come on Aliyah, that's a terrible thing. It's chutzpah. It's irresponsibility. Show me your life. I don't understand. Because you know what? They're living in the midst of a miracle and they don't see a thing. Come terror, Rishon terror. Here this terror, there this terror. No, we didn't guarantee your safety over here. You don't see. We have our own country that makes all the difference. Jews have a choice! You know what else? Also, I happened to see this week a picture, and that picture always, it's a picture of Jews in late 45, early 46, walking in the snow across the Alps. Hundreds of thousands of Jews walked across the Alps to get to the Mediterranean in the hope that they'll get onto some unseaworthy boat that will take them there as well. And Netanyahu is on the chutzpah and the responsibility when he calls on Jews to come. How quickly we forget, heaven's sake. So I'm angry with Hamodiah. And I'm not finished with these guys. I have not yet begun the fact. Anyway, next week, you come over here, Chris. Avram, Chris, you want to make a statement to the class, Avram?
I just want to say that Europe has something that Israel doesn't have. They have 30 million Arabs. 30 million Muslims.
Okay, all right. Anyway, start saving up your money, because this book, you know, is not going to be inexpensive.
How much cost?
I don't know how much it costs. I don't know.
Will there be a book signing?
There will be anybody who buys the book can bring it to me and I will let me sign it. And we also, we have to show I'm going to plan a launch here in the Israel Center, and we'll make sure that you all know about it, and we'll have a wonderful time together.
I'm going to go to the next one.